an opportunity to fellowship around the written word. Father, we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus that as the word is taught now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear. There is no confusion in any heart, but we enjoy the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in the name of Jesus. There is no confusion in any heart, no darkness, no disparity, but the fullness of light and revelation. We receive all that you have for us today, amen, and we are better for it in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you, for we know it's done, for in Jesus' name we've prayed, amen. Can I have your seat? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, you're welcome to church. Hallelujah. Do you have your Bible? Okay. Turn quickly to 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Let's read. It says, "And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Verse 16 says, "That all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." Hallelujah. Verse 17 says, "That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we've been looking at the subject of faithfulness, right? It's been 1 month since we began. Amen. And we are, well, halfway done. Amen. Still quite a number of things to look at. So a brief recap. We saw in this teaching that God expects that we be faithful, right? God expects that God wants faithful men. That's how we put it, right? And we saw basically looking through the Old Testament to see God's revelation as touching this subject. We saw 4 major Hebrew words, right, that are used to describe faithfulness in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. The first word, emunah, right? Do you remember? Which means steadiness, right? Steadiness of character. Amen? You know, that person that remains as he is till the very end. I remember we looked at the story of Moses in Exodus 17, verse 12. Am I right? Okay, yes. Where Moses lifted up his hands till the going down of the sun. Hallelujah. And the Bible says his hands were steady. And I said that word steady is emunah, right? That staying as it is till the very end. Now, that is a picture of faithfulness. Now, what is faithfulness? Staring as you are. That's faithfulness. Amen? You know, faithfulness is that come 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, you are the same way. That's faithfulness. You don't change. Okay? A faithful person is one who is not given to change. Hallelujah. You know, secondly, we saw the word alman, right? Which has to do more with security. You know, that character of one that is secure enough to be trusted. Hallelujah. And thirdly, we saw the word emeth, right? Which has to do with truth. Amen? Or truthfulness. You know, looking at how it was used for God. Remember, we saw how mercy and truth are used together. And we saw why, right? That mercy, God's mercy makes the promises, right? Makes the commitment, and his faithfulness performs what he makes. Amen. His faithfulness performs that commitment that he makes. That's emeth. Okay, truthfulness or truth. Amen. And lastly, we saw the word immune, right, which means trustworthiness. If I remember well, used 5 times in the Old Testament portion of the Bible. So basically, words coming together to give us a picture of what faithfulness is. Then we moved on to the New Testament portion of the Bible. That was last week, right? Yeah, we saw 2 major Greek words used for faithfulness. We saw the word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which has to do with fidelity. That character that can be trusted, amen? Can be relied upon, amen? And the other word we saw, aletheia, similar to emeth of the Old Testament, which is basically truth. Amen. Still saying the same thing. Hallelujah. Amen. So basically, I am sure from everything we've seen so far, you have a rough idea at least of what faithfulness is. Amen. Not even a rough idea, at least a very good idea. Amen. What faithfulness is. Hallelujah. And we concluded by saying that God wants us to be faithful. You know, that's the point of everything. I don't know if I should say this now. I'll say it as we go on. But you know, God wants us to be faithful. Amen. He expects that we be faithful. He wants faithful men. It's only faithful men that will reach their society for the gospel. Amen. You know, like I said in the course of this teaching, that it's not just having Bible knowledge. Okay, that's not sufficient enough. Just knowing how to quote Greek and Hebrew words, you know, which is very good. Amen. Okay, but not just that. Okay, are you now faithful with what you know? Amen. With all the Bible knowledge you know, who have you preached to? Do you understand? You know, who are you discipling? Aha, that is how you know faithfulness. Do you understand? So it's not just knowing, having sufficient knowledge and facts and information. You know, it also has to do with your commitment to what you know. Hallelujah. Amen. So God wants us to be faithful. Hallelujah. Now, okay, seeing that God's will, can we say God's will is faithful men? Can we say that from everything we've seen so far? God wants you to be faithful, right? So can we say God's will is faithfulness? Okay, thank you. Now, let me say something about God. Okay, God doesn't just will. Amen. God doesn't just will. You know, his will is not a wish. If only, you know, the way we say it, if only, amen. God doesn't just will. You know, God actually does something about his will. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, God actually does something about what he wills. Amen. So God wants us faithful, right? Okay, now see what God did. He gave us a spirit that we may be and we may do exactly like him. Amen. Remember, he's faithful, right? Okay, now he wants us faithful, right? Right? Okay, now what does he do? He gives us a spirit so that we can be exactly like he is. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, this spirit would be given when Jesus is glorified. Look at John 7. John chapter 7, verse 37. Are you there? It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, or NKJV says, out of his heart, amen, will flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Now, whose heart? In verse 38. Jesus, right? Thank you very much. Amen. You know, you come to him to drink, right? And water flows out of him to you. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, see verse 39. It says, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. Hallelujah. So can we replace living waters in verse 38, okay, with the Spirit? Huh? Okay. It says, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Why? Because Jesus was not yet glorified. Do you see that? Do you see that? So when will the Spirit be given? When Jesus is glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. Is he glorified? Is he glorified? Hallelujah. Look at John 14. Verse 15. John 14, verse 15. Now, I want you to read it carefully, okay? Because there's a way we skip through when we read this very quickly. But I want you to read it carefully, okay? It says, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Follow closely, okay? Now, what commandments would he be referring to here? You know, some have come here and say, you know, if you love him, keep the Ten Commandments. Ha, Jesus. That is a exegesis. Amen. Who told you that commandments here is Ten Commandments? You know, proper Bible interpretation is just simply read what came before, right? The antecedent text and what came after, the succeeding text. Then you get what they're saying. Amen. Now, what commandments? Now, before we look at it, take note that the word commandments used here in the Greek is the word entole, E-N-T-O-L-E, E-N-T-O-L-E. The last E is accentuated, okay? It means an injunction. If you are a law inclined person, you know what that means, an injunction. or a prescribed rule. A prescribed rule or an authoritative prescription. An authoritative prescription. Amen? It was used to describe how something was to be done. It was used to describe how something was to be done. Now, does this refer to the Ten Commandments? Let's read. Look at verse 11. Remember, read what? The antecedent text, right? What came before? Now, let's read. Verse 11. He says, believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Are you seeing that? Underline believe. Verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me. Do you see that again? Hallelujah. He says, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater, hallelujah, than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Verse 13, he says, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. So what's the commandments? Believe. Hallelujah. Amen. Believe. Number one, believe that I am in the Father, right? Union, right? Right? Okay. Then number two, believe that the Father is in me, right? Right? Okay. Number three, believe in me. Hallelujah. So the commandment of Jesus is faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Not the law. Not the Ten Commandments. The commandments of Jesus here in John 14 verse 15 is faith. Hallelujah. And that is why faith is often called obedience. Faith is often called obedience. Look at Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. It says, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, kept secret since the world began. Verse 26. But now made manifest, and by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. For what? For obedience to the faith. Do you see that? Do you see that? Obedience to what? The faith. So what is obedience? To what? The faith. Look at Romans 1, verse 5. Romans 1 verse 5, it says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith. Do you see that again? Underline that in your Bible. Obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Hallelujah. So the obedience of the New Testament is faith. Amen. Believing. Now, when a man believes, he is obedient to the gospel which was presented to him. So, when a man believes, can we say he has obeyed Jesus' commandment, John 14, 15? Yes. Right? Hallelujah. Now, what is the result of this obedience? Go back to John 14. John 14, verse 16. When I believe, what happens? He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Hallelujah. Amen. I think KJV says another comforter, right? Okay. It says that he may abide with you forever. Verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So what happens to a man who believes? Verse 16. He receives the Spirit forever. Now, he calls him another helper. Another helper is not another houseboy. Amen? It must be very clear. Because the way it has been taught over the years is that God is sending someone. Amen? Depending on where you grew up, amen? You know, in some places it's called the third person of the Godhead. Amen? So, you know, it says he is different from God. So he sends another person, okay? He's delegate. No. The word another, or the phrase another helper in the Greek are two words, okay? Allos parakletos. A-L-L-O-S, that's allos. Then parakletos, that's P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Allos Parakletos. Now, Allos means another of the same kind. Another of the same kind. Parakletos refers to an advocate. One who aids. A-I-D-S. One who aids. Okay? Now, obviously, it is the Father coming himself. Amen? He says, another of the same kind. So, whoever is coming is not going to be different. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay? Now, look at verse 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, who is he? Huh? He may abide with you forever. Who is he? Look at it very well. I will pray who? The Father, that he will give you another helper, that he will be who? The Father. Right? May abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Amen. So the same Father will now come as a spirit in us. Are you following this? Are you following this? The Spirit is God himself. Hallelujah. The Spirit is God himself. Look at 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17. He says, now the Lord is the Spirit. Very clear. Right? The Lord is the Spirit. Amen. So what happens at salvation? The Lord, who is the Spirit, now begins to dwell in us forever. Hallelujah. Say he lives in me. Say he lives in me. Hallelujah. Now observe that the Spirit doesn't come empty-handed. Remember I said this to you. What teaching was that? I can't remember now. But the Spirit doesn't come empty-handed like a tenant. Amen. You know, he just comes and is living in you without doing anything. No. The Spirit actually came with enablements. Hallelujah. The Spirit came with fruits, results. Hallelujah. So his presence within us is made evident by his outworking through us. His presence within us is now made evident by his outworking through us. Look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5 verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You see that? Verse 23. Gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So in verse 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now the word fruits or fruit in the Greek is the word karpos. K-A-R-P-O-S. K-A-R-P-O-S. It actually means results or effects. Results or effects. So we can say the effects of the Spirit is love. Are you following this? The effect of the Spirit is love. Hallelujah. The result of the Spirit is love. That is, when the Spirit begins to live in a man, the effect of that indwelling will be seen in those things that Paul lists out here in verse 22 and verse 23. Hallelujah. So the Spirit living in us will make his presence known by taking a hold of us and making us to think and act like God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now observe something. We are not meant to try to produce these fruits. We are not to try to produce the fruits of the Spirit. They are in us already. Amen. It says they are the result of the Spirit. So any man who has the Spirit has these gifts by default. Or pardon me, has these fruits. Amen. The results by default. So I know in some quarters he has been taught that, you know, you need to produce love. You need to produce joy. You need to produce long suffering. No. By the Spirit living in you, the Spirit resident within you is already the presence of those fruits. Hallelujah. So right now we have love. Say I have love. Right now we have joy. Say I have joy. Right now we have peace. Say I have peace. Hallelujah. Long suffering, right? Kindness, right? Goodness, right? Faithfulness, right? Gentleness, right? Self-control. Hallelujah. Amen. We are not to try to produce any of these fruits. They are in us already. Say they are in me already. Say they are in me already. Now what am I supposed to do? Simple, walk in them as your new nature. Verse 24. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Verse 25. For if we live in the Spirit. Now, if there is a bad translation, the Greek actually says, since we live in the Spirit. Okay? So it's not, you know, if can sound like a condition. We are not sure. If, But the Greek says, since we live in the Spirit. Amen? A fact. Hallelujah. So if you want, like I tell you, if you're liberal, you can change it. Amen? A thunder won't strike you. Hallelujah. It says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you see that? So, since we exist in the Spirit, what are we to do? Now, walk. That is your job. Amen? Your role. What does walk mean? Conduct your life. So, I exist in the Spirit, right? Now, I conduct my life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, let's, for the sake of this teaching, let's focus on two of these fruits in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Let's focus on two of these fruits of the Spirit. Now, let's look at long-suffering and faithfulness. Long-suffering and faithfulness. Now, some translations have faithfulness as patience. Does yours say that? Anyone like that here? Okay, no one. No, some translations has it as patience, which is not wrong. Amen. Now, let's take long-suffering. The word long-suffering in the Greek is the word makrothumia. Makrothumia. M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. M-A-K-R-O-T-H-U-M-I-A. Makrothumia. Now, it's a compound word. Now, compound words are where you have two or more Greek words coming together to form a single word. Now, the two words that came together to form this word are, first of all, makros. M-A-K-R-O-S. M-A-K-R-O-S. Makros, which means long. Okay? Long. And the second word is thymos. T-H-Y-M-O-S. T-H-Y-M-O-S. The O is accentuated, okay? It means passion. Or anger. Passion or anger. Now put that together, we have long passion, literally. Okay? Long passion. Now, this word actually refers to forbearance. Forbearance. Patience, steadfastness, and staying power. Forbearance, patience, steadfastness, and staying power. Now, in English, we have the word short-tempered, right? Now, if there is supposed to be a word in English, an adjective like long-tempered, it will be macrothumia. Do you get that? Macrothumia is the opposite of short-tempered. It would, if it would translate it literally, it will be long-tempered. Amen? If there's anything like that in English. But I don't think there is. Amen? You know, but very clear. Amen? And this quality is actually a quality of God. Look at Exodus 34. Exodus 34, verse 6. It says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. Do you see that? Do you see that? Long-suffering. Amen. So he suffers long. Amen. Okay? Tumia can be called an attribute of God. Amen. So it's no surprise that it's a fruit of God's Spirit. Right? Okay. Now, macrothumia describes that quality of endurance, constancy, steadfastness, and perseverance. Endurance, constancy, steadfastness, and perseverance. Now, it is made evident when trouble, distractions, and ills arise. It is made evident when trouble, distractions, and ills. Ills is I-L-L-S. Ills arise. Amen? It is staying till the very end, regardless of distraction. That is the word macrothumia. Staying till the very end, regardless of distraction. Now, we've said that the Spirit of Christ is in us now, right? The Spirit of Christ is in us now, right? Okay? Now, when the Spirit of Christ came, he indwelled us, right? Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. It says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. Who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. So where is the Spirit? He's in us, right? He lives in us. Hallelujah. Now, but if you took a spiritual x-ray of the believer, you won't see two spirits. Remember, the believer has a spirit, right? Man has a spirit, right? Now, at salvation, the Spirit of God came, right? And indwelt that man that believed in the gospel, right? But interestingly, if you look at that man spiritually, you won't see two spirits. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 17, where we are just now. He says, but he that is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit. So when you look at the believer, how many spirits would you see? One. Hallelujah. James 1, 26. I just want that to be very clear, that the believer has a spirit as well. James 1, 26. It says, James 2, rather. Sorry about that. 26. It says, James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Do you see that? So in the body, in the man, in man, what would you see? Body, right? Spirit, right? Amen. So that man has a spirit. Amen. And at salvation, the Spirit of God came and indwelt that man. Hallelujah. But when you look at that man, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says you just see one spirit. What does that mean? It means that there is now a union. Hallelujah. A man who believes, the Spirit of Christ comes and indwells him, but doesn't just stay there like a tenant, okay? You know, you are sharing space with the Holy Ghost. So he is here, you are here. No. He forms a union. Amen. It's now a singular entity. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Now, this union is what creates the new creation. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Hallelujah. Anyone like that here? Okay, say, I'm a new creation. It says, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? All things have passed away. All things have. Past tense, right? Right? Present day reality, right? Hallelujah. So, it says, if anyone is in Christ. Now, in Christ, I've explained it to you, doesn't mean you are inside Christ, like a cooler. Amen? Or a box. You had a cloth, then he's inside. No. In Christ means union. Amen. Okay? So at salvation, there is a union of beings. You can put it like that. Not beings, who? Ewa. Beings. B-E-I-N-G-S. Amen? Beings. Hallelujah. And their characteristics. Okay? They come together. Now, let me say something about this union, that it is one-sided. Okay? At salvation, God came and indwelled you, and you became like him. But notice, he didn't become like you. Amen? Are you following this? Okay, so it's a one-sided union. But it's a union nonetheless. Hallelujah. So he came with his abilities, his characteristics, okay? Look at how powerful the Lord is. First, think about it. Now, all that power, okay? All that glory is now in you today. Hallelujah. Amen. So at salvation, we receive God's nature. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What can we call that? Obeying the truth. What would that be? Faith. Thank you. Okay. Through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Verse 23. Having been born again. Hallelujah. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we are born again. Amen. We are born again. We are born again. Come on, we are born again. Now, of what? Incorruptible seed. What does seed mean? Is nature. Hallelujah. Say, I have his nature. Say, I have his nature. Amen. Now, Peter will let us say in 2 Peter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter 1, verse 4. He says, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers, hallelujah, of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what do we have? Partakers of the divine nature. Amen. We are partakers of the divine nature. We are called sons of God. Romans 8, verse 15. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, what? Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what? Children of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Say, I'm a child of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. So we are his children. Look at Galatians 4. Galatians 4, verse 4. He says, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth a son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we may receive what? The adoption as sons. Verse 6, and because you are sons, God has set forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying what? Abba, Father. Verse 7, therefore you are no longer a slave, but what? But a son. Say, I'm a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So we are exactly like him. We have his nature. Amen. Say, we have his ability. We have his nature. Hallelujah. So having seen throughout this teaching that God is faithful, right? God is long-suffering, right? So what are we? We are faithful. Hallelujah. We are long-suffering, right? Okay. Hence, the fruit of that spirit of the new man is long-suffering and faithfulness. You get it now? Okay. Faithfulness there, pistis, right? That word that we saw earlier on, which means loyalty. We've examined it already in this teaching, so we won't go along that line today. But is that clear? Okay. So we are like our father. Say, I'm like my father. I'm faithful. Amen. So we can stay faithful and consistent. We can stay through. We can be loyal. That's our very nature now. So long-suffering and faithfulness are closely linked together. Long-suffering and faithfulness are closely linked together. Now let's look at how long-suffering was used in the epistles. Colossians 1 verse 9. Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience, you see that, and long suffering with joy. Hallelujah. So long suffering pleases God. Are you saying that? Long-suffering pleases God. Being able to stay through, irrespective of good or bad situations. Being able to stay through, regardless of bad or good situations. Now look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. It says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance. You see that? Long-suffering. Underline that. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Hallelujah. Verse 12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. So verse 10 and verse 11 talk about how Paul was long-suffering, right? He stayed through regardless of persecution. Now, Timothy imitated Paul and is instructed to continue to imitate him in verse 14. Hallelujah. So what we see here is an instruction that having begun in your service to the Lord, you are supposed to continue to the very end. Are you following this? You are meant to continue till the very end, regardless of persecution, whether things are good, whether things are bad. Are you following this? Come on, are you following this? Okay? In the Christian faith, beginning is never an issue, most times. Okay? For most people, beginning is never an issue, most times. Most times, what the issue is continuing. Hallelujah. Continuing. So you must be deliberate in ensuring that you continue. Are you following this? Look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 verse 9. Hebrews 6 verse 9. He says, "But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner," verse 10, "for God is not unjust to forget what? Your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister," verse 11, "and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope," until when? Until the end. Do you see that? So they started well, right? What is he instructing? Continue till the end. For most people, that seems to be the issue. Verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish. Do you see that? Okay? You become lazy. "But imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Do you see that? So they began well and they are instructed to continue well. Amen. So continuing regardless of distraction, okay, for most people is usually the issue. I remember someone was saying it. I read it somewhere, was it this week or last week? You know, someone was talking about those who start Bible reading plans in the beginning of the year. And the person was cracking a joke. He said, "Those people who started Bible reading plans, where are you now?" Amen? He said, "Those people who started Bible reading plans, you know," he said, "ah, this year is my year. I will know the Lord. I will read my Bible. I will pray well." Amen? And then, you know, just January 2. You know, they start to dwindle. No, not this church, right? Amen. Okay, long suffering is staying like that. Are you following this? Okay, so we are instructed to remain diligent until the very end, no matter how bad things get. Amen. You know, there are some people like that. All they need to do is just have something bad happen to them. I know someone like that. You know, a while back, he just had business issues with his business, and he stopped reading his Bible and praying. I mean, just because, you know, the thing shook him so much. I think he lost a lot of money. Amen. And because of that, he just stopped reading his Bible and stopped praying. Not good enough. Amen. You must make up your mind, we're coming to that, to serve the Lord regardless of how good things are. Regardless of how bad things are. Are you following this? Are you following this? Now, look at James 5. James 5. James 5 verse 7. It says, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth." Do you see that? Waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Do you see that? Verse 8, "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." Verse 9, "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned." Behold, the judge is standing at the door. Verse 10, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience." Verse 11, "Indeed, we count them blessed." Do you see that? "Who endure." Do you see that? Underline that in your Bible. "We count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." So, he talks about, you know, the prophets in the Old Testament portion of the scriptures who were faithful. We can say that, right? Stayed as they are, endured till the very end. And he says, "We call them blessed." Amen? We are to learn from them. Look at Romans 15 verse 4. We are to learn from them. Romans 15 verse 4. It says, "For whatever things we're reading before, we're reading for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Do you see that? So we are to learn from them. You cannot afford to be distracted in your faithfulness to the Lord. No. You cannot afford to be distracted in your faithfulness to the Lord. Now look at Luke 9. Are you here so far? Look at Luke 9:57. Luke 9:57. It says, "Now it happened, as they journeyed on the road, that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. Do you see that? Okay, verse 58. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Verse 59. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, now pay close attention. Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Do you see that? Verse 60, Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61, and another said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Do you see that? So this tells us clearly that there is a cost to discipleship. There is a cost to following Jesus. From what Jesus Christ says here, he says, let the dead bury their dead, right? He says, no one who puts his hand on the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This shows you that in your service to the Lord, you can afford no distractions. In your service to the Lord, you can afford no distractions. Look at what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. 2 Timothy 4 verse 1. Are you there? He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. Do you see that? Be ready in season and out of season. Underline that in your Bible. In season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Do you see that again? And teaching. Now, in the Greek, when it says in season and out of season, it actually means when it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. When it's convenient and when it's inconvenient. So you can say, be ready when it's convenient, right? And when it is not convenient. So you do not let convenience determine your faithfulness in your Christian faith. Amen? You do not let convenience determine your faithfulness to the Lord. Amen. You know, and looking at the early church, the apostles and those in the early church down history, okay, gave their lives and abandoned convenience. They gave their lives and they abandoned convenience. That's why we have Christianity today. Amen? We're coming to this shortly. Now, imagine if the preservation of Christianity was committed to you. Huh? Would it thrive or would it go into extinction? You know, something to think about. You know how we have Christianity today? We have the Lord Jesus, right? Then he had the 12, right? And then those 12 committed that same message to others, right? And those others continue that same message to you today. Do you follow? So they will teach, right? Teach others, a next generation. Then those will teach another generation. Those will teach another generation. That's how the gospel got to us today. So the gospel is literally, you know, built on the sweat, tears, inconvenience of those men. Amen? Imagine if down the line someone just said, I'm not doing it again. There will be no Christianity again today. Are you following this? So Christianity is actually a faith of faithfulness. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Okay? You know, you must learn never to let convenience determine your faithfulness to the Lord. You know, I was looking at a video a while back of the Asian church, and you know, these guys are doing stuff that would almost put us to shame in this part of the world. You know, there is no freedom of religion like that. So you know, for Christianity, they have to meet in hidden places. Okay, they have to meet under rocks. Can you imagine? So they go deep, 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 deep into the ground to meet. Now that place ahead is very hot. Amen? I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You know, very hot. And they will gather there in their thousands to hear about the gospel. Because you know, if they catch them, you know what will happen, right? So they will actually go under rocks, hot rocks, to learn the gospel. Can you imagine? For us. Someone told me of how immediately in that same Asian church, immediately, because they smuggle Bibles in. Amen. You know, because Bibles are not allowed there as well. So they smuggle Bibles in, and immediately they do, they immediately start cramming it. They said there are people there who know the Bible by heart. Chapter by chapter, chapter by chapter, chapter, because they know that the day they get this thing, they will seize it from us. So they cram it. Can you imagine? Faithfulness, right? Regardless of convenience, right? Look at that. But in this part of the world, someone will not come to church because there's no AC. Like, I just want to ask. I remember a minister told us that someone stopped coming to their church because there was no drums. Okay. I wish those who are hearing can see my facial expression. Drum. This is a place where they are taught God's word well. But because of drum. Dinka, didinka, ka. When I heard that, I said, wait, is that man saved? I said, no, he's not saved. I said, he's not saved. I will challenge his salvation. Drum. Some people will not come to church because there's no AC. No, not good enough. What I say? Not good enough. If you allow convenience to determine your faithfulness to the Lord, you will never do anything. Amen. You will never do anything for the Lord. Say, I choose to be faithful, regardless of convenience. Come on, I choose to be faithful, regardless of convenience. Hallelujah. Look at Romans 12:11. Are you following so far? Romans 12:11. It says, not lagging in diligence. Do you see that? Not lagging in diligence. The word lagging there literally means to drag your feet. Amen. Not lagging in diligence. Diligence there will refer to your service to the Lord in context, okay? Fervent in spirit. Hallelujah. Serving the Lord. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Do you see that? So there is no room for laziness for the believer. Do you see that? Do you see that? Say, there is no room for laziness in my Christian faith. In my Christian walk, there is no room for laziness. There is no room for distractions. Look at Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. Are you there? Please be fast with your Bible, okay? Matthew 6:24. It says, no one can serve two masters. Do you see that? For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. Then he says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon there is money. Amen? You cannot serve God and money. Very important. Remember, I've told you, I can't get it how a believer will not show up in church on Sunday because of work. Like, I can't get it. I mean, what are you chasing? You get a job. They tell you, in this job, we will pay you 1,000,000 naira. Give you an official car, official house. But you work on Sundays. Okay? And you say, you got me, Pastor. Pastor, I actually have a job, but I don't know what to do. Please, can you advise me? You know what to do, right? Nothing must come in between your commitment to the Lord. Are you following this? Like I told you in this teaching, Jesus at the center. Keep chasing money and you will lose your soul. What is soul? Your conscience. You will do anything to get money. Just keep chasing money. I'm telling you, you will do anything. You will lie, you will steal, you will cheat. Amen? You will stop being faithful just because of money. No. Say, I choose to be faithful. I choose to be faithful. Amen. So in Jesus' words here, we can learn that the believer is to choose God over money, career, marriage, academics, every other thing. Amen. Jesus will not come first. Regardless of circumstances, okay, you will keep at your commitment to the Lord. The Lord will come first. Look at Galatians 6 verse 9. Are you here so far? Okay, Galatians 6 verse 9. He says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. Do you see that again? Don't grow weary while doing good. Now, good here refers to works, okay? Conduct that we do on the earth for the Lord, okay? Ministry. And he says that we will reap if we do not lose heart. So Paul exhorts in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Do you see that? Immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you see that again? The word steadfast then in the Greek is the word edraios. E-H-E-D-R-A-I-O-S. H-E-D-R-A-I-O-S. Edraios. It means firm. Firm. You remain there. The word immovable in the Greek is the word ametakinetos. Ametakinetos. A-M-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-T-O-S. A-M-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-T-O-S. The E after N is accentuated, okay? Now, that word is a compound word. Compound words are where you have two or more Greek words coming together, right? To form a word. Now, the two words that came together to form this word are A. The letter A. Okay? A. Or alpha. Now, in the Greek, whenever you see alpha, whatever follows after it, it negates it. Okay? So, whatever comes after alpha is a negative. Okay? Canceling, it cancels what comes after it. Okay? So, we have A, which means not. Okay? Or negative. Then, metakineo. M-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-O. M-E-T-A-K-I-N-E-O. Which means to move away from. To move away from. So put that together, and we have without movement. Without movement or change. Without movement or change of status or location. Without movement or change of status or location. Firmly persistent. Firmly persistent. So this is how we ought to be in the work of the Lord. Are you seeing this? You remain persistent. You remain faithful 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years. You are like that. You don't change. Are you feeling what I'm saying? Okay, so it says, remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Okay, now this will be regardless of persecutions. James 1, verse 2. James 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it joy. Hallelujah. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You see that? Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete and perfect, lacking nothing. So it tells you here that let patience have its perfect work. That is, in remaining consistent and patient, you will become perfect and complete. Okay, lacking nothing. The word patience here in the Greek is the word hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. The last E is accentuated. Literally, this word means a remaining behind. A remaining behind. That's the word hupomone. A remaining behind. That is, you stay even when others have gone. Are you seeing this? You stay even when others have gone. It means steadfastness. Patient enduring. Patient enduring. Or constancy. Constancy. It was used to describe that characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to the faith and piety, even by the greatest trials and sufferings. I'll come again with that. It is used to describe the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and loyalty to the faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So, when you stand, regardless of opposition to your faith, patience is being formed. Hallelujah. Don't be the one who easily gives up. No. Build staying power. Let patience have its perfect work. Now, what is the work? It says that you may be perfect. The word perfect there is the word teleios. T-E-L-E-I-O-S, which means full grown. Full grown or mature. It says perfect and complete. The word complete is the word holokleros. H-O-L-O-K-L-E-R-O-S. H-O-L-O-K-L-E-R-O-S. The E after L is accentuated, okay? Now, it means entire. Entire. Sound. Lacking nothing. Consummate. Consummate. That is, complete in all respects, in every absolute detail. Complete in all respects, in every absolute detail. That is, if you stay through till the very end, you'll be better for it. That's what James is saying. Patience in the Christian faith is to train you to maturity. Okay? Now, after you've been trained, you will now be able to withstand all that comes your way. Hallelujah. Are you following this? Okay? Now, God trusts this kind of man. God trusts patient and faithful men. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. 2 Timothy 2 verse 2. It says, and the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to what? Faithful men. Do you see that? We're here last week, right? Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, who is he supposed to commit sound doctrine to? Faithful men. Amen? Amen? Because faithful men will be able to take responsibility with what has been committed to them. Amen? They will be able to be reciprocate that same thing. You know, it's very easy. You know, if look at it like a stream, okay? The stream of knowledge flowing down from Christ Jesus, his apostles, down through church history till today, you know? Now, that stream is full of faithful men who down through the ages were committed to the gospel. Is that clear? Okay? During that stream flowing down, if in 1 year or one era somebody says, I'm not doing, you know, he has cut it off. No, it's very clear. Okay, that's what Paul is saying here. Commit unto faithful men that will be able to what? Teach others also. Able to reciprocate what they've been taught. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And like I said, this is how the gospel got to us today. And I ask a question. Can God trust you? Please write that down. Can God trust you? You will write, can God trust me? That will be your question. You know? This is now, can pastor trust me now? Can God trust you? Okay? With men? Can he trust you with men? Can he trust you with lives? Can he trust you with the message of the gospel? Faithful men. Hallelujah. Now, look at 2 Timothy 2. We are there right now, right? Look at verse 3. It says, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, that phrase, endure hardship, is one word in the Greek, kakopatheo. Kakopatheo. K-A-K-O-P-A-T-H-E-O. K-A-K-O-P-A-T-H-E-O. The last O is accentuated, okay? Kakopatheo. Now, it's a compound word. Two words came together to form that word. The first word we have there is the word kakos. K-A-K-O-S. K-A-K-O-S. The O there is accentuated. Now, kakos means of a malicious disposition. Of a malicious disposition. Now, the second word that came together to form this word is the word pathos. P-A-T-H-O-S. P-A-T-H-O-S, which means pain. Pain. That is, experience painful suffering. Experience painful suffering. It refers to what seems like a setback, but really isn't. what seems like a setback, but really isn't. Now, it was used for hardship of military service in classical Greek, okay? Hardship of military service. Hence, Paul uses it here in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. He says, now look at verse 3 first. It says, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see that? Because that word was used for military service. You see that now? Okay? As a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So Paul likens Timothy to a soldier in the Lord's army. Amen? You know, this is actually how every believer should think. Amen? Say, I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. Now he goes on to say in verse 4, he says, No one, entangled in warfare. Entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Do you see that? Okay, verse 5, and also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. You see that again. Verse 6, the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Verse 7, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Hallelujah. So he uses an analogy here, an analogy of an athlete, then a farmer, to drive home his point. You know, these fields of work are fields that require faithfulness, right? An athlete running, amen, physical training. It requires your faithfulness, amen. Constancy. Same with the farmer, right? A farmer spends time digging. He tills the ground, right? When it's done, he plants. He doesn't get the fruit the next day. He has to wait for it to be watered. After it's watered, he now waits again for it till the time of harvest. In the time of harvest, he now harvests what he gets. Amen? You know, if it's commercial, he now has to sell what he has harvested, right? So, all of these analogies come together to give us a picture of what faithfulness is. And verse 4 tells us that no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. That is, there is a focus demanded. Are you seeing that? A faithfulness to the master's will. He says, do not get entangled with the affairs of this life. Your aim must be to please the master. That's what Paul is saying here. Now, Jesus said the same thing. Look at Mark 8. Verse 34. Please turn there. Mark 8:34. It says, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Mark 8:34. Are you seeing that? Let him deny himself and take up his cross. You see that? And follow me. The word deny him in the Greek is the word aparneumai. Aparneumai. A-P-A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. A-P-A-R-N-E-O-M-A-I. The word there means to disregard, to reject, to forsake. To disregard, to reject, to forsake. It's the same word that was used for Peter when he denied Jesus in Matthew 26 verse 34 and 75. Matthew 26, 34 and 75. When Peter denied Jesus. Okay? That's the same word used there. Okay? It's a very strong word in the Greek. Very strong word. It means to utterly and completely reject. To utterly and completely reject. That is, you forsake yourself. Are you seeing that? You lose sight of your own interests. That is the word, deny yourself. This is required of anyone who seeks to follow Jesus. Are you seeing this? Are you seeing this? Now, Luke records something similar. Please turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 25. Luke 14, verse 25. It says, now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother. Do you see that? Wives, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life. Do you see that? He cannot be my disciple. Verse 27, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Verse 28, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost? Underline that in your Bible. Count the cost. That is, what will it take me? Right? Okay? Whether he has enough to finish it. Verse 29, lest after he has laid the foundation and he is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him. Verse 30, saying, this man began to build and was not able to what? To what? To what? Finish. Where is the issue? Finish. Are you seeing that? Where is the issue with faithfulness? Finish. Verse 31, or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Verse 32, or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and seeks and asks conditions of peace. Verse 33, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Do you see that? Strong words, but very clear. Right? In verse 26, please look at that again. It says, whoever comes to me and does not hate his father and mother. Now, let me make that clear, that the word hate there in the Greek means to love less. Amen? To love less. Or to see as of lesser value. To love less or to see as of lesser value. So this means that your dedication to Jesus will come first, even above family. Are you seeing this? Your dedication to Jesus will come first, even above family. I remember years ago, there was a meeting that we organized in this ministry. And during the same period of the meeting, a family relative, amen? A relative, that's the tautology, was having a birthday in my hometown. And look at this, we've prepared for the meeting, okay? We got everything ready. We had put out the invitation. People were coming, right? And we prepared already, prayed, amen? Studied the word, fasted, and within that week, the individual was supposed to have a birthday. And then they were telling me that I was supposed to teach at the meeting, that I should be there. Why? So that you can wear ashwebi, or what they call it, ashwapati. Ashwambe. We wear all white. You know, because someone is having a birthday. And I made it clear, I said, I'm not coming. Amen? I'm not coming. No, some were angry. I didn't really care. Amen? Your service to the Lord must come first. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Even above family. Amen? You miss church so people are supposed to come and be blessed. You now not bless them because you want to go and eat party rice. Hallelujah. Say above family. Say above family. Amen? Look at Matthew 10. Say something similar there. Matthew 10, 34. Matthew 10, 34. It says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? For I have come to set a man against his father. Are you seeing that? A daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of what? Of what? Of what? Of what? His own household. Are you seeing that? Verse 37, he who loves his father or mother me is not worthy of me. Do you see that? He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Verse 38, And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? So this tells us here. Now, someone asks that, what is Jesus Christ saying in verse 34? He says, I've not come to bring peace. You know, this is very interesting because Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Right? So some people will say, is there a contradiction in the Bible? No. What is referring to here is in relationships. Okay? Human relationships. That is, your commitment to the Lord sometimes will make others not like you. That's what he's saying here. Okay? Sometimes they will come after you with a sword. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Okay? He says, set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother. And he says, a man's enemy will be of his own household. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing that? Okay? So, to follow Jesus, you will need to count the cost. Okay? Know what you are getting into. Amen? It would mean you forsake all for the sake of Christ. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 9. Luke 9:23. Jesus said that earlier. In Luke 9:23. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, way earlier on, and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. And whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Verse 25. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and he himself is destroyed or lost? Do you see that? Come on, do you see that? What will it profit a man? Gain the whole world. For he himself is destroyed or lost. Verse 26. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Verse 27. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. So verse 23 says, take up your cross. Take up your cross. Now, what does this mean? Jesus Christ actually borrowed from a prevalent verbiage in his day. That cross, okay, is a prevalent verbiage in Jesus' day. Now, a cross was a well-known instrument of cruel punishment. Okay? It was used by the Greeks and Romans. Are you following this? So, it was an emblem of suffering, an emblem of shame and persecution. That's a cross. An emblem of suffering, shame, and persecution. So when Jesus says, let him take up his cross, he's actually saying, let him withstand persecution. Are you saying that? Let him withstand persecution or difficult times. You can put in bracket, difficult times. So this is the price to pay to follow Jesus. Are you saying this? Trials will come at you. Okay, but you are to withstand those trials. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 24. Saying the same thing there. Says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Okay, same thing there as well. So, can we say in Christ, persecutions are not surprising? Huh? Can we say we are to expect persecutions for our faith? Are we to give up because of the persecutions? Are we to expect them? Yes. Look at Philippians 1, verse 27. Philippians 1, verse 27. He says, not only let your conduct be worthy, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I'm absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, it says, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries. Underline that in your Bible. Not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which to them is a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation. Hallelujah. And that from God. Verse 29. For to you it has been granted. Hallelujah. On behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to what? Suffer for his sake. Underline that to your Bible. Suffer for his sake. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here is in me. So it talks about suffering for his sake in verse 29. Now, some people have interpreted this funny. You know, some people say to suffer for his sake is poverty or sickness, bodily harm. Not necessarily, no. No. Not even not necessarily. The answer is no. Amen. Suffer for his sake here refers to persecutions, okay? For the faith. Amen. The persecutions we receive for serving Jesus. Amen. The persecutions that come our way for remaining faithful to him. So he says it has been granted to us that not only should we believe, but we should also suffer for his name's sake. Jesus Christ said this of Paul in Acts 9. Please turn there. Acts 9 verse 15. Acts 9:15. Jesus Christ says this of Paul. He says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how many things he must suffer. Do you see that? For my name's sake. I'll write that to your Bible. How many things he must suffer for my name's sake. The word suffer there in the Greek is the word pascho. P-A-S-C-H-O. P-A-S-C-H-O. Pascho. The last O is accentuated. It simply refers to heel treatment. Ill treatment. I-L-L. Ill treatment. To undergo evils. To be afflicted. So, Paul is about to be called into the ministry, and the job description is you'll be treated badly. How about that? Imagine going into a job and they're telling you from the beginning, in this job, you'll be treated badly. That is ministry. Amen? That is service, faithfulness to the Lord. Now, the minister of the gospel is to know this from the very start. You are not called to a life where everything will just be smooth and rosy. Amen? You know, it must be very clear, because most times, you know, we live in a delusion. Amen? And because of that delusion, we get angry at God unnecessarily. You say, how can I be suffering when I'm serving the Lord? Why? Because he presumes in his mind that serving the Lord means nothing bad is going to happen to me. We are coming to that. No! Paul is about to come into the ministry, and the Lord says about him, you will be treated badly. Hallelujah. You suffer. Amen? Just accept it like that. Don't pray about it. Just accept it. Amen? You know, I've had my fair share of this. Amen? I remember in my teenager years, you know, a fellow wrote an article about me. You know, that's in my teenager years. Can you imagine? You know, this man is like 30 years older than I was at the time. Amen. And he wrote an article, Josh Banks, the Hyper Grace Preacher. Can you imagine? Imagine that as a teenager. And then I read that, you know, saying all sorts of things, you know, fabricating lies and all of that. And, you know, of course, you know, in the comment section, you see people as well commenting, don't mind them. You know, that's the way they are, these false teachers. I mean, in my teenager years. Hallelujah. Amen. Those people who commented, some of them are old enough to be even my father, picking on a young child. You know, that same year, somebody, I can laugh about it now, but then, it wasn't funny. You know, somebody actually stood up in church one day and said about me, he said, ooh, you don't have a ministry. Somebody told me that in church. He stood up in front of everyone and told me that, you don't have a ministry. He said, you don't have a message. No one will listen to you. In church, not in private though. Maybe he sent me a text in front of the congregation. Now I remember that day. I remember it very well. I'm seeing the picture in my head. Then I walked. You know, there you will show it now. It's when you leave. Then I walked. You know, and interestingly, that same day it now rained. Can you imagine? So I was walking in the rain. Imagine thinking about, you know, those are the kind of things that only happen in movies. That you should only see in movies. When they are playing a sad tune in the background. And now you're crying. You know? But for me, it was real. Walking. You know? I cried. Oh my God, I cried. I remember entering into the cab, going home, just sobbing. Say, God, my life. I just go back home, in the soaked, drenched in the latter rain. You know, threw off what I was wearing, threw off my clothes, just lay down on the bed and said, Lord, I'm no more doing ministry anymore. I actually said that. Say, I'm never going to do ministry again. Take your ministry. Okay? I'm never. This is too much for me. Like crying. Amen? But, you know, all of that is just mouth. The next day, I took my Bible. Amen? Took my notepad. Took my Greek and Hebrew. Amen? And I kept studying. You know, just consoling myself in the Lord. Like, okay, well, things will be fine. You know, I thank God I didn't give up. I thank God. When I see, you know, the impact that it has on literally thousands all around the world, I'm grateful to God. Amen? You know, if that happened and, you know, I just said I'm not, you know, we'll not be here today. Think about that. We'll not be here today. Amen. You know, that what I just told you, that is just, it's not even up to 1% of it. You know, of the persecutions. I remember in school, you know, looking in school as well, we go to pray. I remember a particular day we went to pray and they just came and rounded us up. Amen. They rounded us up, took us to the square. Amen. The open square in the center of the school. Led us to kneel down. Amen. Why? Prayer. Then they went to Brock King. Ha! Flog. And at that time I was the head boy. Can you imagine? So flog. Ha! Ka! 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 Beat us. Why? Went to pray. So he asked, did you see Josh? Say yes, the head boy. You know it was flogged today. Say yes. Why? They went to pray. Think about it. But we are here. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Regardless, we are here. Amen. 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 So you must never let persecutions. Never. Amen. Hinder you in your service to the Lord. Okay? Lives are dependent on your faithfulness to the Lord. Lives. If you give up now, lives will be affected. Amen. Say, I choose not to give up. Say, I choose not to give up. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. Paul actually says we are destined to suffer. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 1. He says, therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, verse 2, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, verse 3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourself know that we are what? Appointed to this. You see that? Destined. Amen. To this, for in fact we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulation just as it happened, and you know. Do you see that? Do you see that? 2 Timothy 1, verse 8, he says, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings of the gospel according to the power of God. Do you see that? So he tells Timothy, do not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Regardless, it is a blessing to suffer for the gospel. Look at 1 Peter 1, verse 6. 1 Peter 1, verse 6. He says, indeed you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved with various trials. Verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you see that? So the suffering is to prove the genuineness of your faith. Do you see that? Remember, only bad situations, bad negative circumstances can prove faithfulness. Are you saying this? So why, when they come, they are to prove that you are actually faithful. Are you saying this? Come on, are you saying this? Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter 3, verse 13. It says, and who is he who will harm you if you have become followers of what is good? Verse 14. But even if you suffer for righteousness' sake, you are what? Blessed. Hallelujah. Do you see that? And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Verse 16. Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. Now verse 17. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Do you see that? Do you see that? So when I suffer for righteousness' sake, what am I? I'm blessed. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 4 verse 12. 1 Peter 4 verse 12. He says, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Do you see that? That he don't think it is a strange thing. Amen. When people curse you, insult you, beat you, yeah. I'm in God's plan. Hallelujah. It says in verse 13, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Are you seeing that? That when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Verse 14, for you, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you. Hallelujah. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Hallelujah. Verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's business or matter. Yet, if anyone suffers as what? As a Christian. Hallelujah. What is the suffering in context? Persecution, okay? Don't forget. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at Paul's statement in Romans 5. Romans 5 verse 3. Romans 5 verse 3. He says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character what? Hope. Do you see that? So knowing that tribulations produces what? Perseverance. You now begin to stay well. Amen. You are able to stay through. That is what tribulation will do to you. Hallelujah. Amen. As we begin to close now, the word glory used here means to boast. In verse 3, he says, we glory in tribulations. So what does this mean? It means that they boasted in tribulations. They boasted in the bad situations that came their way for the sake of the gospel. Are you saying this? So that means that, you know, sometimes Peter will come and say, well, do you know what happened yesterday? I was flogged 13 times. Amen? For the sake of the gospel. And Paul will say, that's all. I was flogged 3 times. Amen? 39. Hallelujah. Amen? That, see, when you are persecuted for the sake of your faith, just know you are in God's plan. Do you understand? You know, and my minister told me, he said, you are trying to, back in the days when I used to cry about it, you know, he told me that you are trying to save, people who are in darkness, you are trying to remove someone from darkness, and you think the devil will just be looking at you? Huh? Someone is in darkness, is in bondage to the devil, and you want to set the person free. Obviously, the devil will fight back. Amen? But you stand your ground. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says they boasted, amen, in tribulation. Hallelujah. Amen. They considered it a thing of joy to suffer for Jesus' sake. Look at 2 Corinthians 6 verse 3. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 3. As we begin to close. He says, we give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. Verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations. Do you see that again? In needs, in distresses. Verse 5. In stripes, in imprisonment, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Hallelujah. Amen. See the lifestyle. See their lifestyle. A lifestyle of self-sacrifice. The same book. Look at chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Verse 8, he says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Hallelujah. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Hallelujah. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. Hallelujah. Struck down, but not destroyed. Amen. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Verse 11, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Do you see that? That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal bodies. Verse 12, death is working in you, but life in us, but life in you. Hallelujah. So see the way they live their life. Do you see that? Do you see the way they live their life? For the sake of the gospel. They didn't care. Amen. In the same chapter, in verse 17, you will see Paul calls it light affliction. Can you imagine? You know what is light? Look at it, verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. He calls it light. It's like spitting on the face of persecution. He said, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I will serve my God. I will serve my God. Come on. I will serve my God. Come on. Amen. Persecutions are nothing in comparison with serving Jesus. Nothing. Amen. So these guys, they gave their all for the sake of the gospel. Look at Acts 5. Acts 5, 40. Acts 5, 40. He says, and they agreed with him that they had, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, do you see that? They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus Christ and let them go. Verse 41. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing, hallelujah, amen, that they were counted what? Worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they did not cease. Hallelujah. Teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. Amen. Amen. So they were beaten, but they continued. Amen. In Acts 7, 78. Acts 7, 58. Acts 7, 58. Stephen is killed. Amen. For the sake of the gospel. In Acts 12, verse 2, James is killed. Do you see that? For the sake of the gospel. So, as a believer who is truly serving the Lord, okay, not just a Sunday kind of believer, okay, you know, there are some Christians that is just title. Amen. The only thing that makes them Christians is that faith in Christ. You know, after that, there's nothing against the show for it. Not just that kind of believer. I mean, a believer that is truly serving the Lord, you will be persecuted. Expect it. Amen. Amen. Don't see it as something strange. Look at 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. He says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will what? Suffer persecution. You see that again. But you must continue. Okay? Don't give in. You remain faithful. Now, Jesus is our example of faithfulness. Look at Hebrews 12. Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 1. He says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. You see that? The race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, did what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of God. At the right hand of the throne of God, for consider him who endures such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary. Do you see that? And discouraging your souls. Verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Do you see that? So you know what the writer of Hebrews is saying? He said, upon all the persecution you've been persecuted, you've still not been killed. So what's your problem? He was killed. Amen? But he stayed. Hallelujah. Amen. And at the end of it, you see in verse 2, it says that he is now seated at the right hand of God. So eventually there will be a reward. Amen. For your faithfulness to the Lord. Okay. But we are to endure. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. 2 Timothy 2, verse 11. He says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. Amen. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, He will also deny us. Now, this has been used for loss of salvation in many quarters, but deny the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, and I can say Titus as well, are ministry books. Okay? They are called pastoral epistles, meaning they were written to pastors. In those books, you know, we have a theme of faithfulness, service, and rewards. Okay? So when he says, if we deny him, he will also deny us. Deny us of what? That is what the good Bible student should ask, right? Deny us of rewards. Are you feeling that? Okay? Because if you don't serve him, there will be no reward for you because you didn't do anything. Do you get that? Do you get that? Is that clear? Okay? So that's the denying there. Okay? It is rewards, not salvation. Is that clear? Because verse 13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Do you see that? So you cannot be talking about salvation. Right? Okay? It says, he cannot deny himself. Amen. But can we say, if we remain faithful to him, okay, we will receive rewards. Can we say that? Okay. Romans 12, verse 11. Romans 12, verse 11. So this is a call to faithfulness. What did I say? It's a call to faithfulness. You must be faithful. In your service to the Lord, you must be faithful. Romans 12 verse 11 again, it says, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So you maintain your fervency. Hallelujah. You keep the fire burning. Hallelujah. You know, don't be a believer that easily gives up. No. The face of trial. No. Stay. Hallelujah. I remember the Lord told me something, Earlier years of ministry, he said, if you are not faithful, lives will suffer for it. Amen? He said, lives are actually tied to yours. And if you are not faithful, lives will suffer for it. Amen? Because you have a sphere of influence, right? You have people around you that you are supposed to impact with the gospel. But if you are not faithful with the gospel, you will never help them. Amen? There is someone who is supposed to pray well because of you. Are you feeling what I'm saying? There is someone who is supposed to know the Bible very well. He's living in ignorance. But he's supposed to learn God's word, okay, because of you. There is someone who is unsaved. That person will go to hell. Are you following what I'm saying? If you don't preach to him. Hallelujah. So what would I do? I choose to be faithful. I keep my fire burning. Amen? Regardless of persecution. I stay as I am. Come on. Say, I stay as I am. Say, I stay as I am. Come on. Say, I stay as I am. In my service to the Lord, I stay as I am. Nothing moves me. Come on. Nothing moves me. In my service to the Lord Jesus, nothing moves me. Amen. Say, I can persevere. I can remain faithful. Say, faithfulness is the fruit of my spirit. I can stay long regardless of how bad things get. I can stay long, come on. Regardless of how bad things get. Say, I am stubborn. Say, I am stubborn with the things of God. I don't quit. Hallelujah. I stay as I am. I don't change. I am steady all the days of my life. I am faithful because the Lord has made it so. Hallelujah. Be on your feet, come on.